I have to excuse my cough. It's that time of year, and you'll just have to endure my cough, and I'll endure yours later when it gets worse. Psalm 63, if you have your Bible, I hope you brought your Bible. We used to sing in Children's Church the B-I-B-L-E. That is the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen. And so the Bible, that's what our faith is founded on, the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, with no mixture of error at all. Amen? And by faith we believe it, and by faith we preach it and teach it. And I hope if you don't know it by faith today, you'll receive it, and it will change your life. Amen? All right, Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. What a wonderful, wonderful psalm written by David. David, the psalmist, wrote that. Amen. Now, whether you're lost or you're saved, you were born a spiritual being. You have an everlasting spirit that will never die. And that spirit hungers after God. And you came to church today. I don't know why you came. Some of you know, their wife makes them come. Or mom and daddy makes them come. Or it may be the other way around. But I'll tell you this, the Lord put you here today so you can be fed. I want to feed you. I don't want to beat you up. I don't want to straighten you out. That's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. I want to feed you His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you'll listen, I'll guarantee you when you leave here, you'll say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. You'll get something out of it. Even when I was lost and without Christ, the few times I did go to church, I would leave and I would feel like I had done something right that day. I would feel like I'd done something right. I didn't know what it was, but I felt that way because my spirit had got a little food and I didn't even understand all that then. So look at this passage of Scripture. And I want you to think about it. Here's David, King David. He wasn't king at the time. Here's David, and God has already pronounced him king. God has already told Saul that He was going to take the kingdom away from him and give it to David. And now David is having to flee for his life because of the jealousy of Saul. David's having to run. Now, David's hiding in caves and he's hiding in crevices and him and his men. And so he's on the run. But he refused to fight God's anointed. And people told him, said, look, why don't you just kill Saul? You can do it. You've killed tens of thousands. He's killed his thousands. You're a better man than he is. You can kill him. And God is on your side. Take the throne. God's already given it to you. And David said, I will not do that. God put him on that throne. God will have to take him off. I'll not fight God's anointed. And but see, the reason was Saul was not trusting God and David was. David knew that God said, you're going to get that throne, so David's going to wait on God. Saul doesn't want to wait on God. He wants to defend his throne, so he's going to kill David and stop the prophecy of God Himself and keep that throne. He's jealous of David, and he wants David dead. He hunts him down on several occasions. He got close enough. He didn't know it, but David knew it. David could touch him while he was asleep and things like that. And Saul didn't even know it unless he told him. Now, here he is. He's running, and he's hiding out, and he's separated from the place that he loves the most. He's separated, and he's in the wilderness, and it's hot, and it's dry, and he's thirsty. But guess what? There was three things that God made himself to David in that situation. God, now you listen to me. God will come if you'll wait on him. God will come if you'll call on him. And God will make himself what you need if you'll wait on him. Amen? So David's waiting on the Lord. And in the meantime, while he's waiting, God made himself three things to David. Number one, verse 1 through 4. He said, O God, thou art my God. And he said, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. In verse 2, he says, now he's thirsty, verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory that he's seen before in the sanctuary. And then in verse 3, he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. In verse 4, he says, then thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up thy name. Now, so God became the desire of David's very being. God became what David wanted more than anything else. More than he wanted the throne. More than he wanted Jerusalem. More than he wanted Israel. More than he wanted gold or fame or fortune. David had made up his mind, and God had put it into his heart, that the only thing that David desired the most in life was God's power, God's presence, God's grace, God's love, God's promises. So God had become the desire of David's heart. Now you listen to me. A faithful follower of God looks for, desires, prays for the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. A follower of Jesus Christ looks for, seeks the power and the presence of a holy God more than thrones or titles or money or power or principalities. The desire that God put in our heart is God Himself.
Amen.
God Himself. I talk to people sometimes, they'll say, well, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore. I say, you never were. You never were. The Bible says, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Right. If you ever get a taste of that, you'll never walk away from it.
Amen.
Now, you might fall, but you won't walk away. You'll lay down there and beg for Him to raise you up, and you'll beg for Him to give you another taste. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A crackhead is the most motivated person in this town. They can talk you into anything to get money to buy more crack, because that's their heart's desire. That's what drives them. Matter of fact, if they were honest people and got off the drug, they'd be the greatest salesman in town. Amen? They'd sell more insurance, more cars, more than anything. But these people, their desire is that old flesh and to please that old flesh. And hey, y'all listen to me. This flesh is corrupt and it lies to you, and you'll never please your flesh. The worst kid you'll find in town is the one that mom and dad is trying to please their flesh. Gives them everything they ask for. They've got all the toys. They've got all the video games. They get to go all these places and do all these things, and they are still hungry and starving for something, so it makes them ill and inconsiderate and unkind because they're not satisfied and they don't know it, and that's why God gave them parents, because they'll know how to fulfill that child's desire. Now, you listen to me. God ought to be our desire. More than anything else, He ought to be our desire. will to be like David. Now, David's out there, and he's in the wilderness, and he's living in caves, and he's got a scraggly bunch of men following him around. He's not the great man he once was. He's not leading the great armies that he once led. He doesn't have access to the great things of Israel anymore. He's a fugitive. He's a vagabond. He's an alien in his own country. He even has to run to other countries to flee this man called Saul. God allowed that. God allowed that. God could have killed Saul with a heart attack just like that. Just boom, you're gone. But he didn't do it. You know why? He wanted David to make God his desire more than the throne, more than being king, more than the kingdom, more than the gold and the silver that the kingdom would have brought him, more than the fame and the fortune that later on, by the way, God did give to David. But first, God made God the desire of David's heart. Amen? Did you know, you'll hear some TV preachers say, well, you know, if you get saved, God will give you desires of your heart. And they tell you can get you a new Mercedes or an airplane or something like that, you know. With me, I'd be satisfied with Dodge Challenger. But anyway, with the white stripe down the side. But that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Listen to it. He said, I'll give thee the desires of thy heart. That means he's going to put desires in your heart. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian. I don't like to go to church. You got wrong desires. God didn't put that in you. Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't like to read the Bible. God didn't put that in you. God put a desire in you when you got saved to seek God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And there's nothing more important to you in this life or the life to come than a relationship with the Creator of the universe. Amen? I'm going to hurt you in a minute. I'm going to get excited. Not that thing. Our desire should be like King David. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now, I've always said this, if you ever get a touch from God, you'll never be satisfied with anything else.
Amen.
There will never be a drug or a liquid or a powder or a smoke or a snort or a shot or a person or a place or a thing that will add up to the presence of God that you felt that day that you got saved. Amen? Nothing will ever add up to that. And by the way, most of us know it because most of us try it, don't we? Amen? We think, well, now I'm a Christian, and we'll kind of slip, you know, and we'll look back at them old things, and then we go back there, and they're not near as fulfilling as they were before.
Come on now. Yep.
He said, I desire thee. God put that in him. You see, you didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to go to church and get saved. No, you didn't. You didn't want to get saved. Hey, that farthest from your mind. You wanted your old flesh fulfilled. You wanted to make your flesh happy. Amen? You wanted to do something with that old mind and make it happy, you know. But one day you woke up and the power and the presence of God was drawing you. I got out of bed and I told my wife, I said, let's go to church. And we went to church, and I never wanted to go to church for my life, but I'd been 5 or 6 times in the previous 3 years, and I'd gotten under conviction by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and the Spirit drew me to Him. And that day I got up and I said, I want to go to church. And when I got to church and the preacher preached, I don't know what he preached on. He could have been preaching on why the woodpecker don't peck his brains out. I have no idea what he preached on. All I know is that man told me if I'd come to Jesus, he'd save me from a devil's hell and give me eternal life. And not only that, he would satisfy me.
Thank you, Lord.
And did you know what?
I didn't throw my chest out and say, I'm brave. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to get me some of that. No, sir, I fought it for 45 minutes. I fought it. And then finally I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll go down there and I'll do whatever I got to do. And the Holy Spirit of God drew me to the Savior. And He put that desire in my heart that day to go to church. He put that desire in my heart to listen to the Word of God, not ignore it. And He put it in my heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same. Now, I've got desires, and just like everybody else. I've always wanted to take care of my family. I haven't always been good at it, but I've always wanted to take care of my family. I wanted to raise my daughters right. I wanted to raise my grandchildren right. I wanted to make my wife happy. I want to make my mama happy. By the way, my mama's 99. She's so happy. If I ever get dementia, I hope it's the same one that she got that makes me forget bad things and only remember good things. But she's so happy. But my desires, got changed when I got saved.
Amen.
Now is to please God. Now is to seek God. I'm never happier than I am in the presence of God Himself.
Amen.
Now there's fixing to be what I'm working with some other pastors, and we're going to have what's called a tri-county camp meeting. It's going to be sponsored by Brother Lingerfelt's church. He came to preach revival for us. We're going to get as many as you can to come. There's going to be a big tent put up there somewhere. There's about 8 or 10 churches involved. There's going to be combined choir. There's going to be combined singing and preachers. Only the local preachers are going to preach. That means I get to preach. Only the local preachers get to preach. They call them from the floor too. And so, I want you to go. But look, I want to go because I want God to show up. I've been to those old-fashioned meetings to where God came down. Now, most of the generation today has never experienced that. But if you ever, it's about like a crack cocaine. If you ever get some of that, you'll live and die for it. Amen? You'll live and die for it. It consumes you. That's all you think about after that. Those meetings your daddy took me to. He took me to 2 meetings, I remember, camp meetings. And first time he took me to hear Sammy Allen. Woo! I'd never heard no preaching like that. He preached a good message. And that time he took me over to Indian Trail, to the camp meeting out there. And the old ladies would wave their hankies and holler and shout and go on. And that old lady got her walker and walked down the aisle shouting and hollering, woo, glory to God, hallelujah, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. And people thought she wanted to go to the altar. And the preacher was preaching on eternity. Boy, she got down at platform about that high old Brush Arbor, you know. And she got down there and the fellow was helping her. He thought she wanted to pray, so he took her walker and she climbed up those stairs and took the microphone away from the preacher. He said, woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! I forgot how old she was. It was 80-something years old. She said something like this. She said, woo! After she shouted. She had the whole place shout. I mean, they were hollering, woo, woo. The preacher stood there and looked there, you know. Well, go ahead. Yeah. And she, after she shouted about a minute or two, she said, I'm 86 years old. I got saved when I was 12 years old. And I ain't never going to die. I'm going to live long as God lives. Woo! The place come unglued. People started running up and down the aisle shouting. I'm standing over, I hadn't been saved about 6 months, maybe a year. I am scared to death. I was scared in the little Baptist church over there where there wasn't but 2 people that said amen. Now I got 200 of them out there shouting and running and jumping and cutting flips everything else. And then I sat there, I thought, Lord, I don't know if this is good or not, but it feels good, you know. And let me tell you something. If you ever get a little dose of the desire that God puts in your heart, ladies, there'll never be a man that will compare to that. Men, there'll never be a woman that will compare to that. Children, there'll never be one of them stupid little old video games that will compare to that. Or boyfriend. There'll never be a car or anything material in this world that will compare to desiring the presence and the power of a holy God. You said, you sound like one of them Pentecostals. Baptists preached this before the Pentecostals started. They didn't even, there wasn't no such things until 1907. There wasn't no Pentecostal churches until 1907. Baptists have been preaching this till they died. Most Baptist churches now are dead. The only thing they're seeking is 12 o'clock. Say amen right there.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Let's go on. Did you know that God did something else for David? God put a delight in his soul. Psalm 71 verse 23 says this. He says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul which thou hast redeemed. Now you listen to me. God put delight in David's soul. Living in caves, sleeping in ditches, no bath, hardly any water, hardly anything to eat, being falsely accused, being chased through the wilderness. So y'all listen to me. Listen. And God put a delight in his soul that was so good, he wanted to sing to the Lord. Well, I remember working in those warehouses when I was younger and pastoring. And it'd be 100 degrees in the warehouse, and those old containers come from China. They got them boxes of dishes. Nobody wanted to unload that nasty stuff. Those boxes had done rubbed together coming over that ocean, you know, and now it's just dust, old cardboard dust everywhere, you know. And you're unloading those boxes, and the farther you get up in that container, the hotter it was. One of them was 120 degrees. And boy, we'd put them things out, you know, and stack them on little pallets and then take a forklift and drive off. And I'd get real hot and I'd start singing, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. And then I went and got my evaluation, my yearly evaluation. And my supervisor said, Ron, you got a good report on your attendance. You're always here. You're always early. You always work late. You got good on your performance. You do your job. He said, we can't find but one thing wrong with you. I said, what's that? He said, nobody wants to work with you. I said, why? He said, well, they said all you want to talk about is church and God and the Bible and sing that stupid song you always sing. And nobody wants to work with you. You got to quit that. Oh, we're going to write you up. That's against the rules. I said, it's against the rules. He said, yeah, talking about God, it works against the rules. I said, well, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, go ahead and write them all right now. Because I feel guilty, I don't say enough. Amen. So you know what I did when I went to the next trailer? Father alone will know all about it. Father alone. I figured he fired me. Lord, give me another job. Later on they did and God did. Amen. And my boss man came to me to apologize years later. He saw me in a line at a restaurant and he came over there to apologize for firing me. And this is what he said. He said, Ron, I'm sorry I had to fire you. You know, we have to do things when we're positions like that that we don't want to do. I said, wait a minute. Whoa. You ain't got to apologize to me. What you meant for my ill, God meant for my good. I make a lot more money now than I did when I worked for you. I said, I never would have left if you hadn't fired me. Amen? Now, God puts a delight in our heart. Look at verse 5 there. In verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied. The second part, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. God put delight in his heart. Now you listen. We all have hard times as believers. Now unbelievers, your days, listen, life on this side is a whole lot better than it was on that side. And my worst day now is a lot better than my best day was then. You understand that? But even as believers, we have hard days. But even in our hardest days, God puts a song in our heart.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why I kind of fuss at y'all. With your kids and your grandkids, I say, give them a song book. Make them pick up that song book and make them sing, because there's coming a day where you're not going to be there to comfort them, and you're not going to be there to get in the way of trial and tribulation and rescue them, and they're going to have to go through it by themselves, and they're going to need a song in their heart to keep them going. And God wants to put the delight of His Word and the delight of His presence and the delight of His songs in their heart, so when the hard times come, they can keep right on going.
Amen.
You ever looked at somebody and boy, you go to a funeral home, somebody's passed away, and you go down there and they're smiling, and we'll have a funeral and they'll stand up and sing. They'll stand up and sing with us. And people look at them and they say, I don't know how to do that. And I say, I do. God put a delight in their heart. You see, it's not hard for me. But did you know going to church is the easiest thing we do as Christians? It's not hard for us. We want to go to church. We want to sing the song. We want to live for God. We want to do right. We want to be a good witness. God's put that in our heart. That's what gives us delight. That's what makes us happy. Now look, I'm sick, and I'm fixing to be sick. And next month, I'll be 60-something. And I know I look 40-something, but I'm going to tell you something. I am attracted to things in this world, but I've never found any of them that I'm attracted to give me the delight that He gives me. I joke about that car. I want one. I really do. But don't think just because I get in a car, that's going to make me happy. It'll probably get me a ticket. That's why I ain't getting a Hemi. I'm going to get a six-cylinder. But it's going to look like a Hemi. That lying preacher, there he goes, right in that six-cylinder. Says Hemi on the hood. But my delight is in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
See, it's not hard for me to love God. It's not hard for me to read the Bible. It's not hard for me to take time to spend with Him. It's not hard for me to be a witness for Him. It's not hard for me to try to live for Him, because that's what makes me happy.
Amen.
And when we're in sin and we're out of the will of God, that's when we're the most miserable. Because He put delight in our heart for Him and Him alone. The most miserable people you'll meet on planet Earth are Christians that are out of the will of God, and they think they're going to find delight in something or someone else. And they never find it, and they live defeated lives. But the happiest Christian, you ever notice people feel sorry for you if you're poor? You ever notice that? But most of us grew up poor. Amen? Amen. Compared to that, we're rich now. But we grew up poor and people felt sorry for us. But I've got news for you. There's some poor people that love God and their delight is in Him. Not a house, not a car, not a job, not a bank account, not rings and gold and the things of this world. They delight in Him more than anything else.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's not a sin to be poor. Matter of fact, some of you will be better off. If He takes some of that stuff away from you, you might seek Him. I better go on. He put desire in his heart. He put delight in his heart. Now look at verse 9. I'm just about through. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower part of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. Psalm 55, verse 15 says this. He says, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Now, I know that doesn't sound like the Joel Osteen elevation, levitation, and all that junk, but I've got news for you. The same God that made heaven made hell. And the same God that rewards righteousness punishes evil. And the same God that forgives and forgets also remembers. Now, I've got news for you. As a child of God, God didn't just put desire of His presence and power. He didn't just put delight in His soul, but He put defense in David's life. Couldn't nobody kill him. They couldn't kill him. He went to battle even with other kings who he'd been against before, their nations, the Syrians. He went to battle for them and won the battle for them. Nobody could kill him. Hey, Saul tried to kill him and couldn't kill him. Did you know that as a child of God, God will put defense in your life? You cannot die until He allows it.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, I've been preaching for, 37 years now. I ain't never had to quit and go to the bathroom. I know that's mean. I just had to say that. Listen, God defends His children. God defends His children. Don't you think that you're out there on your own? You're not.
Amen.
Now the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh about whom walks about seeking whom he may devour. But the devil can't touch you unless God lets him.
Amen.
Oh, Job. The devil went up there and said, God said, "Where you been, devil?" He said, "To and fro in the earth." He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He seeked the devil on Job. He said, "Well, you got a hedge built around him. You take that hedge down. Let me get to him, and he'll cuss you to your face." He said, "All right, you can have him, but you can't have his flesh." And he went down there and took everything that Job had. Took everything he had. Of course, Job had a problem. If you read chapter 41, chapter 42, you'll see his problem was self-righteousness that he repented of there in the end. And God was using the devil to whip Job. But he wouldn't let him kill him. His friends come to him and tried to talk him in just to giving up. His wife looked at him and said, "Why don't you just cuss God and die? All this stuff you're going through, it ain't worth living anyway. Why don't you just cuss God and die?" And he said, "You sound like a foolish woman." Don't that sound foolish to you? But what she was saying was, "You'd be better off dead." And Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever He has in store for me, that's fine." But God did not kill him. And finally he repented of his sin, got right with God. God doubled everything He'd ever given him before and blessed him for the rest of his life. Now, I don't know if you figured this out or not yet, but He's our defense. Let me tell you, if you have enemies as a Christian, if they hate you because of your faith or because of your good works, and by the way, some people do. Don't be naive. Don't be naive and think they love you just because you're a Christian. But if you have enemies because of your faith, just keep trusting God. Keep going. Don't fight.
Amen.
He'll fight for you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've been saved since 1978. I've seen enemies come and I've seen them go. I've seen them mount attacks against me you wouldn't even believe. And now, they're not even alive, or a lot of them are alive, but they're totally defeated. And I didn't defend myself, and I didn't go down to their house to straighten them out, and I didn't preach sermons against them. I just kept trusting God. And let me tell you something, He's my defense. Because you're not powerful enough to defend me, and I'm not powerful enough to defend me, so I give it to Him.
Amen.
He will protect you. You see, we don't think much about that because we live in a free country. The worst thing that happened to us, if we're good witnesses for Christ, the worst thing that'll happen is somebody probably make fun of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Or we might lose a position in society.
Yeah, come on.
But ain't nobody chopping your head off because you trust in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you got to do. you come to the point where your desire is more for Him and His power and His presence and His loving kindness, and you get so close to Him that you delight more in Him than the things of this world or the people of this world, and then when you get in trouble, He will come to your defense. You're awful quiet. You're awful quiet. He has defended you and you didn't even know it. If we knew every time God stepped in to protect us, it would astound us. We don't even know. We don't even know. He's defending you right now. The old accuser goes up there and he accuses you daily, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you and says, Father, you can't do what the devil says to Brother Ron. I've already paid for those sins. Look at the holes in my hands and the scar in my side. Those sins are paid for. Get thee behind me, Satan.
See, our problem is we're intimidated by the flesh. We think that people can hurt us.
The Bible says you don't have to fear man. You better fear God.
Amen.
Yep. Amen?
Right.
You better fear God. Don't fear what man can do to you. This fellow put his big old finger in my face one time. I was a boy preacher, just real young, probably about 26, 27 years old. He had a finger about that big around. He was a big old man. And he put his finger in my face. He said, I could kill you. I didn't defend myself. About 2 weeks later, he called me. He said, Brother Ron, I need to apologize to you. I said, what for? Well, if he's going to confess it, let him confess it. He said, I said some things to you. I falsely accused you, and my wife told me I need to call you and apologize to you. That's what he said. I said, why would your wife tell you that? She said that God was going to kill me if I didn't. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, the other day we were in my pickup, my boys were in the back, and a man run a stop sign and run into the side of our pickup, and she said that if it wasn't for God, those boys would have died, and I better get right with God and apologize to you before He kills me. I've had people walk up to me and apologize to me, say, I need to apologize to you. I said, for what? I don't know what you're talking about. And they'd be mad and got upset. And God would already have corrected them before they ever came to me and I ever even knew it. By the way, my wife says I'm the last person to know anything in the church. It's the truth. Amen. Now, I'm going to let God defend me. I want the desire of His being. I want the delight of Him. I want His defense. So how do I get that, preacher? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto thee. Now, He wasn't talking about cars and houses. He was talking about spiritual things. Now, if you're going to get the desire of God in your heart, the delight of God, the defense of God, you're going to have to seek Him. His kingdom. How you get into His kingdom? John 3:3, you must be born again. You see, you're of the kingdom of this world if you're not a Christian. If you're not saved, you've never received Him as your Savior, you're a kingdom of this world, which belongs to the devil, by the way. And you must be born again. Then when you get born again, you become a child of God, and He puts you into the kingdom of God. And you're going to live as long as God lives. But you're going to have to seek God in His kingdom. I don't have a formula for you. I wish I was smart as some of these little kid preachers that have formulas for everything. I don't have one. This is what I've got right here. When I want Him, I seek Him through that. I get on my knees, I pray, and I seek Him in His Word, and guess what? He gives me my desire. And then I delight in it. And then I let Him take care of me. I let Him defend me. Let's stand. Maybe today you need to seek the kingdom of God.